Let's read together tonight Proverbs chapter 15. We'll read the entire chapter. The text that we consider tonight is verses 16 and 17. The Word of God at Proverbs 15. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he that loveth him that followeth after righteousness. But he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more then the hearts of the children of men? A scorner loveth not that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therein. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. The way of the slothful man is an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors they are established. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth the instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. We read God's Word that far. It's verses 16 and 17 that we consider this evening. Let's read those verses again. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, Proverbs 15, 16, and 17 is Solomon's wise instruction to us this evening concerning our attitude towards and the place of the riches of this world in our lives, or the lack thereof. This proverb of Solomon obviously was written many years ago, but it has particular application for us today. Because the reality is that we are bombarded by a certain philosophy of the world, a certain philosophy that is apparent very much in the society and the culture in which we live. It's the philosophy that sets forth this equation: riches equals happiness. We can't deny that that's a very real thing among us. Why do you go to college? Why do you work this many hours in a week? Why do you do this? Why do you do that? In order to accumulate the things of this world. It's everywhere around us. And the fundamental principle that stands behind that is that happiness, a better life, is equated with more things of this earth. We must not think that that's not a philosophy that we cannot be affected with, because we can. That's our philosophy by nature. And really, it doesn't take very long for us to realize that. How easily does that mentality rise up within us and then motivate us for why we do certain things? How easily is it found in our hearts when we think, if I just had a little bit more, just a little bit more, and the bills would be more easily paid, I wouldn't have to worry about tuition, life sure would be a whole lot better, much more relaxing, not so tense, not so anxious, if I just had a little bit more. It's a very real thing among us. And that's why we need to hear not the philosophy of the world in this evening, but we need to hear in this evening the Word of God. The Word of God that teaches us tonight that the blessed man and the blessed woman and the blessed young person and the blessed family, whether rich or poor, is the one that has the fear of the Lord. We call our attention to that main idea tonight as we look at this passage under the theme, the blessedness of the God-fearing home. The blessedness of the God-fearing home. We notice in the first place the homes, in the second place the blessedness, and in the third place, briefly, the possibility. The homes that are described in this text, the blessedness and the possibility. Before we get into the specifics of this text, let's look at it generally. What is Solomon doing in these words that he writes to us tonight, inspired by the Holy Spirit? In verse 16, Solomon compares one who has little and the fear of the Lord with one who has much but trouble with that. And the conclusion that Solomon comes to is that the one is better. The conclusion that Solomon comes to is that in the end, the things of this earth are nothing without the fear of the Lord. And then in verse 17, what Solomon does is further describe, further illustrate what he sets forth in verse 16. And he does that by bringing us to the meal times of these two homes. The one that has little serves for dinner a dinner of herbs, and the one that has much serves, as the text says, a stalled ox or a fatted calf. And this one, there is love, and the other one, there is hatred. The idea, generally speaking, is that what is most important in the end, it's not the things of this earth, but the fear of the Lord. So the Holy Spirit gives us a tour of these two homes set forth in the text. And now let's look at these two homes individually. Let's look first at the home that has little, so little that what is served for dinner is a dinner of herbs, but it's the home that has in it the fear of the Lord. When the text in verse 16 says, better is little, it's referring to little in the terms of physical possessions. That's evident from a couple of considerations in the text. In the first place, the fact that the contrast in verse 16 is with great treasure. And obviously that refers to the great treasure of this earth. And then furthermore, in verse 17, when this is illustrated for us by taking us to the mealtime of these homes, what's referred to is a dinner of herbs, something of this earth. Another way to translate that then would be a few things. Better is one who has little or a few things, and so forth, as the text says. If you were to ride up to this home, you would notice in the first place that it's not very large. The outside landscape is not elaborate. You look in the garage and a couple of cars there, but nothing luxurious. They serve the purpose of getting one from point A to point B. You go in the home and you see the family there, and it's pretty clear that pennies are pinched and sacrifices are made. The clothing on the family is not the latest and the greatest, but it does the job. Everything tells you that they don't have much, and sacrifices are made. When you go down to sit for a dinner, as the text says, what's served for dinner is a dinner of herbs, greens. Just as in the Old Testament, so also today, if that's all that you have for dinner, that's indicative of not having very much. And so this dinner time that the Holy Spirit brings us to is characteristic of this entire home that has very little when it comes to the things of this earth. Physically, very poor. Spiritually, rich beyond compare. Because in this home, as verse 16 says, there is the fear of the Lord. Not fear in the sense of being afraid or scared of the Lord. Sometimes that word can be used in that way. But that's not the idea. There's not a certain being scared of the Lord, but it's fear in the sense of loving and reverencing themselves before the Lord. That's the idea, that they fear the Lord. The Lord is the object of their fear. Let's lay that out a little bit. What the fear of the Lord is. And we can do that by looking at other proverbs and other passages of God's Word. A home that has the fear of the Lord, in the first place, is very intent on understanding who God is. Involved in the fear of the Lord is the knowledge of the Lord. And that's evident even from the passage that we read tonight, Proverbs 15, verse 33, where we read, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Instruction. Instruction involves the imparting and the acquiring of knowledge. One who fears the Lord knows the Lord. And how do we know the Lord? We know the Lord from His Word, especially. The clearest, fullest revelation of who God is, as the God and Father of Jesus Christ, the God and Father of all things, the God and Father of our salvation. But as we all know, knowledge in the Scriptures is never simply a matter of the mind, but it's a matter of the heart as well. It's a knowledge of love. It's a knowledge in which there is a profound love for the Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So in this home, described in the text, Bibles are found. Many Bibles. Bibles owned by every single member of the family. Bibles read as a family together. Bibles read individually. In the home is other literature. Good quality spiritual literature, not to take the place of, but to aid us in understanding the Bible. The fear of the Lord involves knowing who God is. And how do we know who God is? It's through going to Scripture and studying and being strengthened in our knowledge of God. In the second place, the fear of the Lord involves not only knowing in our mind and in our heart, but an actual living out according to this knowledge that we have from God's Word. And that's because fundamentally the fear of the Lord is wisdom. And this is something that comes across in Job chapter 28, verse 28, explicitly. Job 28, 28. "And unto man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." And wisdom, people of God, is always practical. Wisdom is always doing something. Wisdom is doing what is right according to the knowledge that we have to the great end of the glory of God's name. And so when we say that the fear of the Lord is wisdom, what we're saying is that the fear of the Lord is doing that which is according to the knowledge that we have. Doing what is right in the sight of God. A home that fears the Lord, then, is a wise home that seeks to do what is right. We took a tour of this home briefly with respect to its physical possessions, how much they had. But now go into that home and observe the behavior. And it doesn't take very long to see that everything that they do, the way that they speak, the way that they act, the entertainment that they engage in, is all striving towards the purpose of doing what is right according to God's Word. Fear of the Lord includes right living, doing what is right. And in the third place, because of these first two points, the fear of the Lord also has a negative aspect to it. A fear of the Lord is hating what is wrong, hating what is against the Lord. And that comes across in Proverbs 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Very simply, the home in which there is the fear of the Lord hates everything that Jehovah God hates. And so often there's negative instruction in this home, teaching the children and one another, this is why we don't talk that way. This is why we don't engage in that entertainment. This is why we don't do this. Because we fear the Lord. And God hates that. And so also do we. That's the fear of the Lord described in this text. And it's found in this home in which there is little when it comes to the things of this earth. And also in this home, as the text says, is love. Verse 17, better is a dinner of herbs where love is. That's parallel to the fear of the Lord in verse 16. Really, it's simply another way of expressing what the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord is love, the heart of which is love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, but also love your neighbor as yourself. In a certain sense, the fear of the Lord that we just talked about emphasizes the relationship that we have with God. And now in this second verse of the text, love emphasizes the relationship that we have with one another. So that in this home, there's love. You go into the home and you see much love among the family members. You sit down for dinner and you notice that there is a genuine, sincere love for one another. That's the first home described in the text. Not much when it comes to the things of this earth. But love in the fear of the Lord. But there's another home described in this text. The home that has much when it comes to the things of this earth. Described in the text in verse 16 as great treasure. You drive up to this home and it has everything that you could ever imagine when it comes to the possessions of this earth. A huge house, elaborate landscape, the nicest cars. You walk in and everything is exactly the same. And you sit down for dinner, and what's served for dinner is reflective of the entire home. Not herbs, but juicy steaks and prime rib, and luscious side dishes and delicious desserts. There's much when it comes to the things of this world in this home. But there's something else there as well. Text says that there's trouble therewith. The end of verse 16. Then great treasure and trouble therein. The idea of this word trouble, it's not used very many times in the Old Testament, is tumult or disquietude. And it's helpful to look at another passage to understand what this word trouble means. And one of those passages is 2 Chronicles 15, verse 5. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 5. Second, not first. In this text, the word trouble is translated as vexations. But in this text, we have described for us what the people were going through when they were apart from God. God was very far from them. They didn't care about God anymore. They lived their lives very much away from God. And this is what was the case for them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. This word trouble is the opposite of peace. The home that has much, but has trouble, is the home in which there is found no peace in their hearts. Anxiety instead. And the reason that's the case is they're always wanting more. When you're in a home that has so much and when that's your mentality of having all of the things of this earth, it's never good enough. And it causes this trouble to rise up in your hearts and your minds. The head of the home always has to work. Has to work more and more, harder and harder in order to maintain this certain lifestyle. The mother and the children always have to have the latest, always have to have the best. And when you don't, it causes anxiety and trouble to rise up in your soul. And as the text says in verse 17, hatred therewith. Not love as it's set forth in the first home, but hatred, enmity, nothing's ever good enough, not sweet communion and fellowship among the members of this home. So these are the two homes described in the text, little in the fear of the Lord, much in hatred and trouble therewith. And what Solomon says in the text is that the one is better than the other. The one is blessed and the other is not. And the one that has the fear of the Lord, they have the blessing of God, because in the end they have God Himself. The point that Solomon is making is that all of the riches of this world mean absolutely nothing if there is not with that the fear of the Lord and love. And we need to understand this. Solomon is not saying that they're both good, but this one just happens to be a little bit better than the other one. That's not the idea. What he's saying is that essentially this one is good. This one is blessed, and in reality, the other one is not at all, but the other one is cursed. Only the home that has the fear of the Lord is blessed. Only the home that has the love of God in it is blessed. so that you may have all the things of this world. But if you do not have in that the fear of God, in reality, you have absolutely nothing. So that you may be very, very poor and look to your very, very rich neighbor and say, I'm absolutely content. I have peace. Because in reality, I have everything, and you, in reality, have nothing. The blessedness of the home that has the fear of the Lord, in the end, is the blessedness of Jesus Christ Himself. Because that's what, in the end, wisdom is. We said earlier that the fear of the Lord is wisdom. And wisdom, in the end, is not something, but wisdom, in the end, is someone. Proverbs 8 makes very clear that Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. And the home that has Jesus Christ in it, no matter how much riches they may have, has everything. Need to be clear about one other thing, and that is that the text is not advocating a life of asceticism. It's not saying that the only way to have this fear of the Lord and love is by having nothing when it comes to the things of this earth. Many throughout the history of the church have said that. Some have at least. Get rid of everything. Live the life of a monk or a nun, the barest possible conditions, and that will lead itself to having the fear of the Lord. That's not what the text is saying. By setting it forth in this way, Solomon, in a sharp way, is setting forth the reality that in the end, what matters only is not the presence of riches, but the presence of Jesus Christ and the fear of God. So we've described somewhat these two homes. We've seen the blessing of the one. And the question then is, which home is our home? It's a difficult question to answer because really when it comes down to it, with respect to the physical possessions, it's the second home that describes us. And in a certain sense, I didn't even describe it in the right way when I described the first home physically, because even that home had everything and had much when it comes to the things of this earth. And that's us. We have so much when it comes to earthly possessions. Really, all of us, in a certain sense, fall on that end of the spectrum described in the text. Within that, there's a wide spectrum, certainly, where some have much riches and others don't. But there are Christians in the world that truly only have herbs to eat, the barest possible necessity, rice, bread, and are getting by on the most meager things possible. That's not us in the society and the culture that we live. And so that calls our attention to something that we must never forget. It calls our attention to this point that Solomon is making. That in the end, you may have all of those things, but they mean nothing without the fear of God. That means, people of God, that we need, in a very real way, to prioritize our lives. Ask yourself that question. Where is my priority? What's most important to me? Why do I go to work every day? And what's my attitude towards the things of this earth? Is it to accumulate more of the things of this earth? Is it to supposedly be happier and better off in this earth? Or is it to fear the Lord? This comes across in very concrete ways in our lives. What's most important, the things of this earth or the fear of God? This comes through in very concrete ways. What consumes us? What dominates our conversations? What makes us happy? Truly happy? Are we only happy when we have things? Young people, are we only happy when we have the things of this earth and when things are going well for us? Or is what makes us truly blessed, what makes us happy, what makes us enjoy this life, is the fact that we have Jesus Christ. And what is truly most important in our lives? The fear of God's name. What's first? What's most important? Ask yourself that. Examine yourself very deliberately in that regard. And in the second place, people of God, teach that to your children. The text brings up homes, brings us inside these homes. And that calls attention to parents and children. How are we teaching our children in this regard? What is the impression that we are leaving to our children? So that when they grow up, they have the proper perspective. That what matters most is not the things of this earth and having great treasures, as the text says, but what matters most is having the fear of the Lord. How do you teach that to your children? One way is not to give them everything that they ask, not to spoil them with everything that they may want. It's okay to give them things. Of course it is. In no way am I saying that that's not okay. But when everything they ask for, you give them, and then above and beyond that, what's the impression? That's what's most important. Instead, you can use that as an opportunity to teach. No, you don't need everything. No, you don't need this. Even a candy bar walking out of the aisle in family fair. Because that's not what's most important in the end. The things of this earth. What's most important, my son? What's most important, my daughter? What in the end is all that matters is that you fear God and that you have the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one that's blessed. And what we must never forget as well in the third place is that the devil will use this against us. I've heard it said by others outside of the United States who truly live in more meager circumstances than we have, that they look at us and they feel sorry for us because of the affluence of our culture and society, because we have so much. And they look at us and say, that's hard. And I feel sorry for them because they have a particularly strong temptation on account of that. And the devil knows that. Don't think that the devil is not going to use your bank accounts and your possessions to lead you away from the Lord God and to lead our children away from the Lord God. He does, and He will. And that's why we need to hear this Word of God that tells us that better is little with the fear of the Lord than much. Because in the end, that much tends itself towards trouble and hatred and anxiety, and being away from the Lord. The devil will work furiously to use what we have to make us spiritually weak Christians. And that's why we need to know that. That's why we need to be aware of that. That's why we need to be on our guard against that. So that we're not caught up. And so that in the end, what's first in our lives is love and the fear of God. The text sets forth this contrast between the fear of God and having much. And that's the way in which we have applied it. And that's right, that's our initial setting, that we think the much will lead to spiritual dangers in our lives. But there's another way to look at what we have. And we have to draw this connection too. Because God does not tell us tonight, eat herbs for dinner, sell all that you have, and live as meagerly as possible because then you'll have the fear of the Lord. That's not what God is telling us tonight. And so we need to make another connection, and the connection is this. We need to use what God has in the service of the fear of God's name. So that we look at what God has given us and we use that to strengthen our fear of His name and our children's fear of His name. so that when we look at everything God has given us, we use that as an opportunity to always remind ourselves that it's not because of who I am. It's all God's work. It's God who gives us everything. We use that as an opportunity to give to the kingdom causes. We use that as an opportunity to become all the more thankful every single day for what God has given us in terms of the things of this earth, but ultimately picturing that which is the reality, the spiritual gifts, which is Jesus Christ and His shed blood for us. So we use what God has given us in the service of strengthening our love and our fear of God. And in doing that, we experience that blessing. And the only possible way for us to do that is by the work of God in us. At the beginning of the sermon, we said that when we read the fear of the Lord in the text, that it means that we fear the Lord. He's the object of our fear. But another way to look at it is that the Lord is the source of our fear. That the Lord is the one who works that love for Him in our hearts. And that's the only possibility of having this right perspective and experiencing this great blessing of Jesus Christ. It's all God's work in us. It's His work by His Spirit in our hearts so that we have this perspective. So that in the midst of this affluent society and culture, we realize what's most important. We realize that in the end, the only thing that is blessed is to have the fear of the Lord in Jesus Christ. Beloved, you can thank God that He does not let us be destroyed by this culture in which we live. You can thank God. Yes, there's always room for improvement. Yes, there's room for admonition. But we can thank God that He gives us the right mentality, the right perspective of living very loose to the things of this world and driving home the fact that in the end, for us and our children, it's the fear of God that matters in Jesus Christ. The only possibility of experiencing that great blessing is God's work in us. God's work in us so that we may have nothing, and that may be someday. Very real possibility in this earth, in this country in which we live, that we'll be stripped of everything. And then the text takes on a different perspective. And then it doesn't matter whether we have much, whether we have little. What matters is that God has given us love for Him, and God has given us His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, help us to have this perspective of Thy Word, that better is little with the fear of the Lord. Drive home to us tonight the importance of the fear of Thy name and love. And drive home to us the importance, or rather the non-importance, the unimportance of the things of this earth. Heavenly Father, forgive what was said or what was heard in sin. For Jesus' sake do we pray. Amen.